Sleeping hot? Waking up sweaty at 2 a.m.? It's not you, it's your sheets. And Care Aloha is your answer. They're the original for bamboo sheets that are naturally breathable, moisture-wicking, and luxuriously soft, designed to keep hot sleepers cool and comfortable all night long. You can feel the difference in how much cooler you sleep. Care Aloha's innovative bamboo fabric pulls heat away from your body so you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer without cranking the AC. Improve your sleep tonight. Shop Care Aloha bamboo sheets now at carealoha.com. That's carealoha.com. Cooler sleep starts with Care Aloha.
The future belongs to the fast. The digital economy is driving business and industry into unprecedented transformation. Visionaries, disruptors, those bent on reinventing the way things get done, are turning to Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. With years of experience in delivering what's new and what's next, this new company is positioned better than ever to deliver the IT solutions to propel you into the future. Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. Accelerating next.
Hello everyone and welcome to the NRF1 podcast on Acast, on iTunes and of course on Future Radio in Norwich. I hope this finds you well. We all hope this finds you well. My name is Michael Bailey. We are here to review the European Grand Prix straight out of Azerbaijan, which is definitely in Europe, and Baku's debut on the Formula One circuit. Oh, so much to talk about. Honest, I'm joined today by Perry Hamilton, Kyle Cumbers and Stephen Rust. Ped, are you well?
I'm very well, thank you, Michael. Yes, how are you?
Good, thank you. Yeah, all enjoying the action. It's like we're at a really intense part of the season. I'm feeling the intensity. Are you?
I'm feeling the intensity, and I enjoyed all of the action of Baku for the 2 minutes of action that we got. I enjoyed Saturday.
Yeah. Friday was quite good as well. They were good. Kyle,
hello.
Good evening.
Hello.
Nice to have you on, and you've kept the predictions coming in, I've noticed.
Yeah, I keep the title.
And the betting tips, they did all right.
Yeah, the last two rounds, we've got 5 out of 6 right, so a nice little roll.
Can we find out if anyone's actually made money off of Kyle's bet? Can we get people to let us know? If you're out there and you're listening to the pod and you read the NRF1 website, which of course you should because there's some fantastic stuff on there, but if you're listening to it and you're reading it, let us know if you've taken any of Kyle's tips and you've had a flutter. Let us know. We want to know if you've made some money out of it.
I've made a little profit, which I've then squandered on the basketball. Bloody Warriors.
What did you predict?
Well, I said Warriors in 7, but I only put my money on them for game 7.
Oh, no.
Well, they'll do it now. Yeah. And then the... Anyway, never mind. That's the sore subject. We've got Formula One to talk about. Stevie Rust, no Norway holiday this week. Have you just been sunning it in Norwich?
Just back to work. It's just been really dull.
At least the race probably livened up your weekend. He's turning up his nose. That one, everyone. Well, as you may have noticed, when we reviewed Canada, we had a great audio clip from Richard Baxter. It's something that we're going to do. We're all going to commentate on the race and then give it to you to listen to afterwards, because I think that would be quite hilarious, and hopefully we'll have some of that coming up over the podcast too. But I thought I'd start with this bit that Rich got straight in. He sent us, obviously he did so well with the first one, you can listen to that in our Canada review, but this is what Rich sent us from the start of the Baku race. Yes, he's snoring. That was a joke. Hearty ha. But hopefully we will have some audio highlights coming up in the middle of the podcast, so keep an eye out for those. That'll be the bit where nothing really happens. But Rich, it can't join us tonight, but he did send an email with some of his notes. He mentioned how the race in Baku promised a lot, ultimately failed to deliver. He said he felt like a mug after telling everyone about how exciting the race would be. It's probably not the only one. He liked the track, though. Unbelievably fast for a street circuit, which, I mean, we were like an 8 mile straight, I suppose it was going to be, really, wasn't it? What happened to the carnage? Why wasn't there any, Kyle?
I don't know. I watched the GP2 race on Saturday, and it was, I think, 10 finished out of 24, and it was just smashing into walls, smashing into each other. It was chaos. And I thought, but there's nobody, well, apart from Hamilton in qualifying, clipped the wall. It wasn't even a safety car. I mean, talking about odds, I mean, you've got pretty short odds on the being a safety car.
Not even a virtual safety car, was it?
Nothing at all. But Baku looks quite nice. I was quite surprised by that. So, but yeah, that's about it really from Sunday.
The city looks fantastic, dude.
Oh, the city looks gorgeous. I mean, those flame towers looked absolutely wonderful. I mean, you looked at it and you just think, I never even knew Azerbaijan had a city like that. It's like kind of like a mini Dubai. But I mean, I pick Rich up on 1.8. He says unbelievably fast. And I mean, there were some shots there where some of those sections of track were as narrow as a pit lane. And I think that maybe made the cars look, you could feel the speed, because you never see a car going that quick down a pit lane. And these cars were just rocketing around these things. And there was, I think, Michael, you talked about when we first talked about that we'd seen the street circuit of Baku. And you said there's this wonderful twisty bit where, you know, they're shooting through the old town and everything. And they just rocket around the corner, almost flat. And you look at that, and there are a number of times where I just sort of went, crikey, that is quick. Because you can really see it. So there's energy at the circuit. There really, really is. There just isn't very much excitement at the moment.
Yeah, it was an interesting one. Jenson Button said he wondered if there was just too much respect between the drivers, so everyone kind of took it easier. I mean, it just felt like everyone had talked up how much kindness there was going to be. Everyone kind of took a step back and made sure that there wasn't. Interesting, you touched on the speed, Ped. Hamilton missed the podium, but he did clock the fastest recorded speed in the race at 364.4 kilometres an hour, 226.4 miles per hour. That's not bad. It's also the fastest recorded speed seen this season at any track. So, and that's a street circuit. It's a little bit nuts, isn't it? Did you like it, Steve? I mean, for the fact that the race let us down.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed Friday and obviously Saturday. And after Saturday, I was really excited for the race, because I thought for a street circuit, we're used to looking at sort of either part street circuits or Monaco, which is a full street circuit. And I thought it just looked far more interesting, you know, a little bit of old with new, with some of the scenery they're driving around. And I like the big straights and the whole speed of it. And then when the race came, there was just none of the expectation, you know. And I have to be honest that I was so bored throughout that race. And I've had races in the past where I thought, yeah, that was a little bit boring, but at least there were some action at various points. There was just nothing. It, you know, literally after the first couple of laps, it was just so processional. I think we've watched better Monaco races, to be honest.
I would completely agree. And I think you always see the race and think, oh, maybe I'm just the one who thinks it was a little bit dull and there were other things that people found interesting. But I think as soon as you started hearing everyone reflect on it, it was like, yeah.
Yeah, I think, I can't remember who made the point, but somebody said that maybe the drivers all thought there's going to be chaos, so I'll keep out of trouble and I might get myself some points. But everybody thought that, yeah. Followed each other around.
And there were safety concerns as well, don't forget, beforehand. Jensen was one of those who was quite outspoken about it, and there were drain covers coming up and curb issues, and they're worried about the tyres slashing. I mean, was there a bit too much of that chatter? Should they be, you know, your racing drivers, get on with it, you'll be all right?
You're racing drivers, so you're paid to race. You know, you can voice your concerns, but there are the correct channels to voice them through. Raise them to your team. Your team will have contacts with the safety liaisons. Go through it in that way. You don't need to start moaning to the public and getting on at the press about it, because all that's going to do is create a negative impact on a city that, okay, the race may not have absolutely delivered, but from the looks of things, that, you know, this isn't like one of the sites. I mean, where was it a number of years ago? Korea? You know, we went to the Korean Grand Prix. The track wasn't even finished. The seats weren't even in place. There was so much there that was a failure. Baku have really done it. I mean, it's a beautiful city. It's a lovely looking track. They really, really have done well. And yeah, it's your maiden Grand Prix, so you are going to have a few issues, but the right channels are there to go through and discuss it and address it and correct it in the same and safe way, the way that it should be done, not going to the press and creating, you know, a negative image for what could be a really good you know, point of the season for future years.
And there were signs saying, well done, Baku, as well, which I'm sure we'd echo. I mean, did you feel that? It seemed like there was a bit of an issue over runoff areas. Well, I mean, there's lots of tracks where you don't have runoff areas. There were suggestions where cars would have to reverse onto the track if they went down an escape road. Well, you know, stay on the track. I don't know. Is that part of the reason, though, why we didn't have a good race, was because the drivers were conscious of the walls, as Ped mentioned?
Yeah, I kind of... sort of a lot, the safety question. I mean, how far do you go down the safety wise. I mean, obviously, don't race if you're worried about safety. And there's a certain point, it's got to be a little bit dangerous. It's got to be, like you were saying, kinks between around the left-handers. There's no runoff there, but I bet the drivers enjoyed it. And we've got to have that little bit of excitement in what us watching it as well, and the drivers. So I don't think they've been complaining before they'd even done Friday practice as well. So I'm kind of like, give it a go, and then you make your suggestions. I think the driver's briefing's probably Friday evening. Make them there, and go from there. But
there's a really big debate to be had here, which we won't have now, but it's an interesting one because it ties in with Halo and aero screen protection. And Joe Saywood said a cracking point, I thought. He talked about the Isle of Man TT, however many riders had died there this year. So many have died in the past. No one's really... it's almost accepted that that's the risk that these guys are laying on the line. They know that. And, you know, that's part of the challenge. But it's a very difficult emotive debate, of course. The interesting thing here, in terms of safety cars, the race in Baku was just the second this season to pass without either a actual or virtual safety car. Can anyone name the other one?
There's some strange... Am I Monaco?
Oh, it's a good effort, though.
I'm going to say China.
Nope. Kyle?
Russia?
No, it was Bahrain. And the keys acknowledged it. It was Bahrain. But there we go, no points for that one. Anyway, we should touch on who won, shouldn't we? It was Nico Rosberg, because he started on pole and he won. Basically, he led, he was unchallenged, he was clear. He was about 49 seconds clear of Lewis Hamilton after 19 laps. I know Lewis was down the track, of course, but Lewis bucked up his qualifying very harshly. I mean, he only clipped the wall, didn't he? But it was enough to break his suspension, and he had a very erratic qualifying session. So we're back to 24 points being the gap. It's as if Canada never happened. And momentum back in Nico's favour, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah, it is. It's just some of the things that happened to Hamilton over the weekend was some of his own doing. I think on Saturday the track conditions changed, and I think he was just a bit caught out by that. But some of the things that happened during the race, I was just annoyed at. You know, yet again, similar problems from past Grand Prix, and yet again at the end of the race, you know, Toto Wolff comes out and sort of says, oh, both cars had the same issues. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, do I really believe that? You know, and suspiciously, we didn't see any of this in the race. We didn't see any evidence, you know, that sort of Rosberg was able to quickly fix the problem. And I was just really annoyed about it, you know, because I think when you look at where Perez got, he got onto the podium. You know, he was literally half a second behind him at one stage. So, you know, it looks like he probably could have got onto the podium. So it just really annoyed me. But, you know, some of the problems that he had was of his own sort of doings.
Yeah, he had a really scrappy qualifying, didn't he, which completely scuppered him, which is a shame because the three practice sessions he was all quickest in. So he clearly had it nailed, and all this stuff about him not trying the simulator and all this sort of stuff. I mean, he knew how to race around the track. But he did cause himself issues there. Then, of course, as Steve touched on, there was the race mode issues. Both Mercedes had it. It gets very confusing as to whether they were in the race mode and right roast mode and then the wrong one, and then they had to switch it back. But effectively, Nico and Lewis both had to figure out the problem. And I think the harsh narrative out there is that Lewis didn't figure it out quite as quickly as Nico.
Quite bizarre, though, because Rosberg changed his race mode during the race so he could go back when he had the problem. But there was a mode that Lewis was in, which was like an overtakey mode. So why was Rosberg changing into overtaking mode when he was miles ahead, which didn't really make much sense? But it does bring up the question about, do we want engineers driving cars or actually racing drivers? How far do you go down with the information they're allowed? I understand the whole advising them, like, oh, try gear free when turn 13 and stuff, that's too far. But I think for changing an engine mode.
But I mean, these cars have sensors all over them. They know when they've got a puncture, whether it's a slow puncture or anything like that. They know about brake. They know if there's even a small thing that's gone awry. So surely that telemetry, that's got to be recorded. It's all electronic. So there's got to be a data recording option for that. So why can't we just introduce it and say, if there's a problem that falls within a set outline of these problems agreed by the teams and by the FIA, that if this is a problem and this is how you fix it, this can be communicated to the driver in a simple, short message that can only be given once. Because you want them to be able to just get on the phone and go, okay, Lewis, the problem is you've got this, and we can see that it's a fault. You need to try, switch, two, three, whatever. And then they do it. And he just comes back and goes, oh, no, it's not working. Like, well, that's the solution we've got, Lewis. So that's what we've told you to do. Other than that, we can't help you. So you're not, as Kyle quite rightly says, you're not saying try gear three and turn four or whatever. You're not doing that. But what you are doing is there's a recognised problem, auditable problem, that the FIA can go and look at and go, you said this to Lewis. Where was the evidence of your problem? It's here. Right, okay. And the penalties for that can be whatever. Points off your championship, grid penalties, whatever. So there's easily a way that you can put it into the rules if you need to.
I couldn't figure it out. I was convinced that Mercedes probably could have helped Lewis out a bit, and it did seem like they were properly sticking to it when they, you know, could they not have figured out a way to help him out? Surely, if you were talking about, you could probably have argued it was something to do with the safety of the car because of the speed he was doing.
So it's less full of reliability error and also safety, because if he's trying to change modes when he's racing around at 2 mile an hour, that's a safety issue.
Well, that's what I would have said, but I mean, Mercedes didn't seem to try particularly hard. Steve?
No, well, they just seemed to be pretty set on the fact that, you know, we're going to be breaking the rules and we would take a penalty for doing so, so we're going to stick with the rules. But it was interesting, because afterwards Lewis Hamilton, when asked on his thoughts on it, he sort of said, well, the radio ban was brought in to stop driver aids, and this wasn't a driver aid, it was a technical issue.
Yeah.
And I thought in a very quick sentence that sums it up.
Yeah, I completely agree, which to me, and there obviously is a lot of chatter now about what where it goes from, but to me, I don't think Mercedes dealt with it very, very well in the situation either.
It was good to hear Lewis ranting on the radio again, because we haven't had that for a while.
Proper ranting as well, proper ranting about him and Kimi Raikkonen, both very tetchy, which was very good to hear, always. I mean, Lewis does sound a little bit worried about the championship title now, I thought, after the race.
I think he's worried about future engine penalties as well, isn't he? Which seems to be, he keeps bringing that up, which, understandable, it's a 10-place grid penalty. I think he's kind of maybe in his head that that's sort of destined for Rosberg, and he's just going to have bad luck all year. But I mean, that can soon change around. I mean, it's only still within a race win, isn't it? So, and there's how many races to the left? I don't know how many, but
lots of races. So yes, and Lewis said it looks like it's being going to be a good year for Nico. That's a direct quote. Who's going to win the title, Steve? We'll go around you all. Who's going to win this title? Just say a name.
I don't know.
I tried.
It's too early. We're barely halfway or something like that. It's too early. I don't know. I mean, you could say at the moment it looks like Rosberg, but like Carl says, you could have, you know, a horrible second half of the season, you know, for Rosberg. So I don't know. It's too early.
What does your heart say?
To be honest, I think it's looking more like Rosberg. If it's just going to be one season, I've said it before, if it's going to be one season only, like his dad did, it'll be Rosberg.
Hamilton will win it.
I hope so.
Hamilton will win it.
I have to say, I was going to have a go.
You two are right.
I was going to have a go at Steve for sitting on the fence, but I can't tell.
Michael, you've said time and again on this podcast that Nico Rosberg will never be a world champion. And what? One drive in a track where everyone was on eggshells and suddenly you think he's the second coming of Ayrton Senna?
Behave. Every dog has its day. That's all I'm saying. Okay. But look, Nico Rosberg will never win a world champ. That's what my prediction said at the start.
You've said it a number of times since, Michael.
Damn you, Nico!
Stick with it.
Never! Right, probably a good time to publicise, clearly a great time to publicise, our Patreon page, because we'd love to have your support as we go about trying to spread the word of the NRF1 podcast. We're still working on doing a video, so it looks really nice on that page. We're getting there. We're doing lots of improvements on the website, nrf1.uk, as well. I'm going to make the podcast available for you to download proper MP3s, because a few people have said, can we have actual MP3s? So we're going to try and do that as well. Lots of things going on. It's a long-term plan. We'll bring it all forward. But yes, patreon.com. What are you laughing at?
People still care about what file format these things come in. I had no idea. Go to the website, press listen on my phone, and I listen. I mean, I'm not tech. I'll give you that right now. I'm not tech. But for these people out there, someone, please, if you've requested it to be in an MP3 format, please mail us, tweet us, let me know why, because I'm absolutely dumbfounded at that.
Or just wait and you'll be able to download it on the website for a fee. So patreon.com/NRF1. And also, if you do subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and therefore don't have a direct download, you can rate us, give us a 5-star rating, or, you know, 3, whichever you like. We'll probably take any rating, to be honest. Be kind and leave a review. Say nice things if you wish. And that would be lovely too. Right, you are listening to the NRF1 podcast on Acast on Future Radio. It's time for the NRF1 Pit Stops. Let's start at Force India, shall we? Because they are in form. And when I say they, I mean Sergio Perez. I don't know where Nico Hülkenberg is at the moment. He's still probably thinking about what he did this time last year. No one's calling him Le Mans winner Nico Hülkenberg anymore, are they? He qualified P2. He had a five-place grid penalty because of a silly little crash in FP3. Still finished on the podium. It's his second podium finish in three races. It equals his season best finish in Monaco with another third. And before this season, Force India had only scored three podiums in total. Perez now has seven career podiums, which is exactly the same number as Mexican racing icon Pedro Rodriguez. I can't say that. My Norfolk accent coming through. Pedro Rodriguez. He achieved in his Formula 1 career. So this is big stuff for Sergio, a man who went to McLaren, it didn't really work out. Now he's flying and ready for another move, surely.
I think the Ferrari seat should have his name on it. I mean, as I said before, every time there's a glimmer, chance of a podium, he takes it. He's probably learned a lot from his McLaren days. I think he's just ready now. And also, I think it proves that we came a bit too early to write off drivers. I mean, obviously Kvyat is having a dreadful time at the moment. But, you know, they can come back and we are too early to write off. But, yeah, his form at the moment is unbelievable.
We can write off probably Daniel Kvyat at this point. That's probably fine. There was a good bit where Perez, of course, overtook Kimi Raikkonen during the race and you just thought, yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly that. I mean, it helps that the Force India car is coming into its own as well. You know, enough. It's doing enough for him to get there. But, you know, he's solid. He's dependable. He's matured. And I think we've seen him mature in front of our eyes, really. You know, he used to be known as the kid that could make his tyres last. I mean, that was his thing, wasn't it? Oh, Sergio Perez is great on his tyres, and he still really is. But actually, Sergio Perez is now a proper racing driver. You know, he is making these moves on these former world champions. He is driving these cars that have less and less driver aids. You know, there weren't the car, you know, Kimi was winning championships in cars that kind of drove themselves in many ways, and Checo's not doing that, so really pleased to see him develop. I'm really pleased to see almost that slow burn, not that come in with a lot of pomp and ceremony and that flash, like, you know, of Verstappen, who's come in and everyone's gone, God, he's brilliant, stick him in a seat, you know, it's 17, 18 years old, stick him in one of the top teams. Just see Checo come in, keep plugging away, and eventually start to learn that craft and come good.
Completely agree, really. I mean, I think he, like Carl said, sort of learnt probably a lot from his McLaren days. I mean, it wasn't the best car that he had there. I think the Force India car is probably a little bit better than it was, you know, when he had his car at McLaren. But yeah, I quite agree with Pedro. I mean, I think he has sort of matured, you know, quite a bit. You know, he doesn't really seem to be getting caught up in silly mistakes and things like that. He seems to be pretty consistent and sort of calm behind the wheel as well. And, you know, I think you could be looking at a future world champion if he's in the right seat in years to come. Probably not in the short term, but I think a Ferrari seat might be his best bet at the moment or best that he could do at the moment. But who knows, in the future it could be next world champions.
He's ruining Hülkenberg's career, isn't he?
Well, I was just going to touch on Nico because what happened in qualifying, where he basically aborted a lap because he thought he needed to come in, and the engineer was like, no, Nico, I told you, it was just horrible.
It's just, I'm surprised they don't have an idea that, you'd confirm it as well, wouldn't you? And just seems strange. And maybe the pressure of being beat by Perez has taken its effect, and maybe he'll go back and be another Le Mans winner.
so do we see Nico Hülkenberg in Formula 1 next year?
Yeah, but
I mean, I'd rather have him than Pastor Maldonado. But do we see him in Formula 1 next year?
No, great statement.
But no. But is there a space for him next year? Or do you see a completely fresh driver lineup coming in if Perez makes the move to Ferrari? You know, there are plenty of other people out there, fast people out there, you know, griping for a seat in Formula 1. And, you know, and especially if now Force India believe that they've got a car that can hit the podium, they want drivers that can get them there as well. And Nico's not showing that that's him at the moment, so I suppose that's the question, is are they both there next season or are they both gone?
He's still quick, but you kind of think the younger and quicker drivers. So I can't ever see him being at a top team. kind of see him winning a world championship. So how long is he, maybe it's up to him how long he stays in F1 and sits in a mid-table team.
Which is a big difference from a couple of years ago in itself, isn't it? Let's move it on to Ferrari, shall we? Looking at maybe more in terms of Seb, but Vettel and Daniel Ricciardo, I'll get into his name pronunciation probably in next week's podcast. They set exactly the same time in qualifying, which is crazy. Daniel was qualified ahead of Seb because he recorded the time first. Brilliant. Great logic.
Yeah, it's before him.
Yeah, absolutely nuts. And Kimi had his penalty for crossing the pit lane, which, you know, he probably shouldn't have done, all that sort of stuff. And as I said, great stuff. But Seb, what do we make of Seb at the moment? He was all very happy last week. I mean, it was a pretty good effort given Lewis wasn't really in the battle this week, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, I think he had a tidy race, or a fairly decent race, really, and I think he'd done the best he could do with that Ferrari car this weekend, but maybe some of that was a bit masked by the fact that sort of Hamilton was out of the picture. But just talking about Seb, I can sort of foresee a little bit of frustration in general creeping in. You know, from, I think when he moved to Ferrari, he didn't immediately expect to be winning races, but I think he perhaps expected to be on a par with Mercedes by now, and I don't honestly think that they're any closer than they were when he first joined Ferrari. And I think he's looking towards the future and just getting a bit frustrated. I think after his four championships with Red Bull, I think he sort of thought, right, I am now the driver who's going to go to, you know, the next championship-winning team, and I'm going to continue this streak and so on and so forth, and that just hasn't happened that way.
Again, a debate for another time. I do just wonder how hungry Sebastian Vettel is for another championship. As you said, he's won four of them. I know he's obviously wanting to do something at Ferrari, but he looks like he's enjoying himself, but not in the way that's like, give me a title. Not in the same frustration you see in Daniel Ricciardo, say.
Sort of back to Canada, I was quite surprised how jokey he was, and sort of a victory was taken away from him in a way, and he was sort of laughing with Hamilton afterwards, and I thought, that's not the old Seb.
No. And no seagulls to get in his way this time, so that was good. Red Bull then, just reflecting, I mean, they just didn't really get the tyres turned on, so they didn't really compete, which was a bit of a shame because their engine should mean that they're a little bit closer to where they are. A bit of fun between Max Verstappen and Valtteri Bottas, although Valtteri seemed nonplussed about it all. I don't think he really cares about that sort of stuff. And then McLaren's the only other place I really wanted to step on because Jenson Button, he was out in Q1. Which is a bit of a nightmare, but then he had a great little race of it. And we even saw a battle for position properly between him and Fernando Alonso, and maybe pushing for points. Although, did they get any points in the end? No.
No.
Alonso retired.
And Alonso retired. But before that, Ped, before that.
It was really good, and it was nice to see, I suppose the word is relevant. It was nice to see us talking about, you know, I say us, I mean us sat around our TVs collectively, 7 hours in behind, in Michael's case. But nice to see that McLaren were worth talking about, you know, at a race. You've got these two worlds. We talk about it a lot. We wax lyrical about McLaren a lot and about how, you know, they with two world champion drivers and, you know, a world championship caliber team with a culture of winning and a culture of success, they should be doing so much more. And if it wasn't for that dog of a Honda engine, then they probably would be. But, I mean, that is what it is.
Next year.
That's it. Well, hopefully. We'll see they're making... They've had enough time to build it, haven't they? Are you done with your pit stops there, Mike?
Yes, go on. I know you're itching. Go on.
No. I wanted to give a special mention to Manor. I mean, absolutely fantastic drive from Wehrlein. Obviously didn't end up in the points, and it was a tyre strategy. But for a long period of that race, we saw this backmarker team holding their own and catching people and overtaking people. Great drive, tricky circuit, new drive, great drive for Wehrlein, great drive for Manor. You know, you've got to give them a nod.
And Rio Haryanto as well, who is... He's not quite off it, is he, really? In fairness to him, he's not as off it as maybe some people thought he would be.
He qualified 18th, wasn't it? 17th or 18th, yeah. So, yeah, he's for the start of the season, I thought he's just a pay driver, but he's doing a lot more.
European Grand Prix, Baku, first time we're racing here. Cars coming up to the grid now, watching Solihull with Tom. Say hi, Tom.
Hi, how are you?
There you go, there's Tom. On board with Seb Vettel. Everyone looking like they've lined up fine. Ricciardo next to Rosberg. You got the Ferraris. One light, two light, three lights, four, five.
Hello, Michael Bailey here. just getting ready for the start of the European Grand Prix, in that I'm watching the race probably 7 hours after it's finished. But I don't know the result. What's more, I can't shout because I've got a sleeping five-month-old boy upstairs and a very tired wife. But the cars are now coming up to the start, and this could be quite exciting, or it could be really dull. I wonder if Lewis knows how to start his car properly this time. This race could be nuts. It could be carnage. Sometimes that just means that it ends up being really dull. One light, two red, three red, four red, five red, green flag.
And they're out. Racing towards the camera. Solid start from Rosberg. Ricciardo nice as well. Up on the outside. Is that Vettel losing a place? We're not going to get through there clean, are we? No, we've had a few knocks. That's not too bad. Look at that. Okay, no, Vettel's back in third. Raikkonen holding his fourth, which is a bit unusual. Normally drops a few places. This has been disappointingly calm through these first few corners, hasn't it? Look at that. There's got to be a couple of ruckus, hasn't there? That's it. As Tom says, we've got to get to the twisty bit and see what's going to happen there.
Nico clear. Ooh. Tag. I think they're pretty well round. Oh, that was quite calm.
Nice run from Checo up there. Yeah, he's doing quite well, isn't he? See if we can find how many Lewis has jumped up by. They haven't even seen him yet, have they? So a long old lap. You're not going to listen to me for the whole thing, are you? Oh, sector one yellows. What's going on there? Bit of coming together, bit of collision? No. Oh. All coming up. This has been relatively pedestrian. I was expecting far more of a coming together at the first corner. Maybe people were just a bit hesitant.
May I say a bit sedate?
A bit sedate, yes, exactly that.
Right then. NRF1 podcast, you know that. Acast, iTunes, Future Radio, you know that too. Shall we bring on our Of The Weekends? Starting off, of course, with the Rodolfo Gonzalez Driver of the Weekend. Rodolfo tweeted how happy he was about this a couple of weeks ago, his title. Honorary Norfolkian. A point to bring up here, Karun Chandok. We're big fans of Karun, obviously.
I'd rather have Karun back. Have I mentioned this already? Have I said that?
No, you can say that, though.
I'd rather have Karun back than Pastor. I'd also have Narain Karthikeyan back over Pastor Maldonado.
Why?
Well, because he's better than Pastor Maldonado. And... Do you know who else I have? We were talking about this just before the pod. Charles Peake. Let's give it up for Charles Peake. Let's take
what
a moment.
For Charles?
Yeah, let's just take a moment to respect the fact that Charles Peake, I would rather have Charles Peake back.
Why?
Than Pastor Maldonado. Because he's probably less crashy than Pastor Maldonado.
Is he French? Is that a benefit?
Sure, yeah, why not?
Okay. Pedro de la Rosa?
Too old. No, we draw the line.
Oh my God, hang on. No. Are you sure?
I draw the line at Pedro de la Rosa. Absolutely sure.
His pomp?
In his what?
Pomp.
Is that in his
prime? In his pump, in his heyday. Yeah.
Oh, in his prime, yeah. Yeah, go on then, why not? He's had a Ferrari drive out of it, hasn't he?
See,
all right. Before they got Fisichella.
Yeah. I was watching Nelson Piquet Jr.
I think you brought him, yeah.
I'd have him, yeah.
We won't find one, Steve. There's no point in trying.
Kazuki Nakajima.
Do you know what? You can have that one because I don't even remember it.
Well, this is going to run and run. I know it is. Anyway, with Karun... And Rodolfo, I'm going to conjure up an F1 Norfolkians Hall of Fame. All the top Norfolk people, we're going to bring them up one every fortnight or something, and they're going to have a place on the website, along with the Patreons. All our Patreons will have a space on the website too. It's like boards of honour.
Is this only for honorary Norfolkians?
Well, ones we deem good enough.
All Norfolkians from Formula 1 and motorsport.
They need to be, we need to induct them. So you don't automatically just rock up. We have to induct them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But same with the Patreons. Patreon, patreon.com/NRF1. Space on the website awaits. Anyway, our Rodolfo Gonzalez, he'll be inducted. A driver of the week. This is going to be really quickly. Should we just say it now?
Perez.
Absolutely.
Yep, good. Team. Should we do this one really quickly too?
Force India.
I think we've already discussed this. I'm liking this a lot. Let's go. Richard Baxter sent us, of course, his email, so let me revise. He also said Perez, good quality and a good race. Nicely said, Rich. I'm sure you said it just like that. A team, he said, Mercedes for some more classic radio conversation. He's given that as team of the week. Goat or pasta of the week. It is Pasta Maldonado of the Week, which apparently a Swedish podcast has copied us with their Pasta Maldonado of the Weekend. We did come up with that first for any people listening to both. Anyway, moving on. I'm sure it's a great podcast. I'm not slagging anyone off. I love everyone. It's all great. Formula One, lovely, brilliant. Pasta Maldonado of the Week, end. You can give it to Pasta if you want.
Lewis Hamilton.
Oh.
Probably the first time ever as a Pasta of the Weekend. But yeah, just his, yeah, on Saturday was poor, which affected his Sunday, yeah, really.
I agree with you on that, Kyle, actually, just for his qualifying, because he was solid for the rest of the weekend, obviously up until that point, and just, as Michael said earlier, scrappy, couldn't get a clean lap, always locking up, always hitting the runoff, and then he took his own tyre off. I mean, that's just, it's rookie. You've got drivers like, as we said, Harianto, Wehrlein, fantastic drives from these guys that haven't seen, you know, they're not world champions, they're not experienced. Hamilton should have done a lot better.
I think definitely, given how well he did in the three practice sessions. That's the thing that gets me. Certainly, Hülkenberg, as we mentioned, watching his teammate finish on the podium.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, to what the guy said there, Hamilton, to be fair. I was just kind of flicking through the list and just trying to think if there was anyone else that could better that. But to be honest, not really.
Love it. No, job done. Richard said Perez as Pastor of the Weekend. Do you want to know why? He said, because it could have been even better if he hadn't hit the wall in FP3, resulting in his grid penalty, which is probably a pretty good shout, but we can't do that as well. Poor old Sergio. Highlight of the weekend, I will give you Rich's first, shall I? Which is David Coulthard for hanging his glasses on their belt. Who does that? I don't get it. Put them on your shirt, which is something Richard Baxter would definitely do, wearing his glasses on his shirt. Any more highlights?
Kimmy's radio conversation for me was outstanding. And, you know, in a race that was kind of devoid of particular get up and go moments, Kimmy was a chuckle for me.
I think I was trying to find something actually in the race, and I think it's quite early on. There was three, I think it's Bottas, Verstappen, and Hamilton,
yeah,
three abreast going,
yeah,
to the first corner.
Yeah.
Well, that's quite cool. And you thought, yeah, well, maybe this is what's going to happen for the rest of the race, but yeah, it didn't.
Yeah, I mean, I liked all of the radio calls, you know, that we had with sort of Hamilton, particularly Raikkonen. Just quickly with Raikkonen, one thing I found mostly amusing about that is someone who's usually quite calm and doesn't actually say very much, you know, was just getting really irritated on the radio, and I just thought it was otherwise a boring race. It was actually just a little bit of excitement there.
Can't believe no one has said the actual highlight of the whole weekend, which, if you go on our Twitter feed at the NRF1 or the Facebook page, facebook.com/NRF1podcast, you'll find the video of Nico Rosberg in the green room hitting his own face with his headphones. He does it really hard and he goes, ooh, and Seb...
Yeah, it looked like it hurt, didn't it?
It did look like it hurt. Seb sort of caught it out of the corner of his eye, but tried not to laugh. Hilarious. So you've got to catch that. He does have previous Nico, because apparently there's a gif, that's how you say it, isn't it?
Sure.
It's one of those things that's written down and no one ever says, of trying to undo a bottle of water and he can't do it. It's just something about Nico Rosberg. Love him to bits. But there we go. Nico Rosberg hitting his own head in the face with his headphones.
I think GIF stands for Graphic Interface Framework or something like that. So the first word is graphic, which is a hard G. So I would say it's a gif. That's logic.
The man who said he wasn't techie.
Nailed it. Nailed it, Ped. Nailed that. I think we're done. What an epic podcast that is no way befitting of the race. Loads of stuff, of course, to catch. NRF1.uk for blogs, tips and more. Looking ahead to Austria, which is coming up in a fortnight. And we will be back with a preview podcast next week. Whenever you're listening to this, it will be published a week later. Obviously around the football. Because that's the way it has to work. I've told you the Twitter handle at the NRF1, facebook.com/NRF1podcast. Get in touch if you wish by either of those means, or please email us if you prefer, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. We love hearing from you all. We've got some cracking stuff to discuss ahead of Austria as well. I'm really looking forward to that. When, of course, in that podcast, we'll also bring you up to date, right up to date, bang up to date with the latest Prediction League situation. Very interesting stuff. But for now, Ped, Kyle, Steve, thank you very much for your time. Thank you to all of you for listening, whether you're here in Norfolk, in Norwich, in the States, in Australia, South Africa, Venezuela, Korea, all you lovely people. Thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. Keep in touch. We'll be back to look ahead to Austria. Until then, bye for now. Oh, yeah, that was good.
That was awful.
Terrible,
I loved it. Keep it in, because it was good. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to this podcast, which is brought to you by Acast. Like you, millions of people enjoy podcasts every week. Acast works with thousands of amazing shows, reaching the most engaged, loyal, and desirable audiences on demand. For more information about advertising, sponsorship, and branded content opportunities for your business, contact us using sponsor@acast.com.